Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. For the rest of this month, visitors to the B&O Railroad Museum in Baltimore will be able to explore Makers of the Railroad, African Americans on the B&O. That's the title of an exhibit that includes uniforms, baggage, and equipment used by African American workers, as well as images from the B&O Railroad photograph collection. With me to discuss the role African American workers played in the history of the B&O Railroad is Courtney Wilson, Executive Director of the museum. Welcome to On the Record.
Hi, Sheila.
A group of bankers and businessmen established the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad in 1827, 190 years ago. And the goal was to create a faster route for trade between the East Coast and the Midwest. Were African Americans involved in constructing the railroad?
Not so much, not with the B&O. You find that in some of the Southern railroads, but mostly it was Irish immigrants that built the B&O.
And a few years after the railway began, the B&O started transporting passengers, not just freight. This led to the introduction of dining and sleeping accommodations. What jobs were available for African Americans then?
So really, after the American Civil War, we find the world of employment on the railroads open up for African Americans. And specifically, that role of a sleeping car porter, the cooks, the waiters, and the chefs that actually wrote some of the recipes and created some of the recipes on dining cars was a wide open field after the American Civil War. And the African American community really flourished in those jobs. They were sort of cream of the crop in their society.
Weren't they considered menial jobs?
In the African American community, they really were the height of employment. I think for the white passenger in those days of kind of discrimination, that they were considered menial workers, yes.
And these were primarily African-American men, or were there openings for African-American women also?
A little later in the 1880s and 90s, we find that field open up to porterettes and to stewardesses that served on sleeping cars and passenger cars to kind of be attendants to the white passengers.
What were the working conditions like in the kitchens and the dining rooms?
Oh, hot, tough, long, many, many, many hours and days away from home and family. These were not easy jobs. And, you know, while the sleeping car porter was busy making beds for all the upscale passengers on the sleeping car, you know, he was relegated to basically a chair in the corner to spend his night. And he had to be on call 24 hours a day, pretty much, while the train was in motion.
So tell me again, what were the benefits, then, of these jobs?
Good pay, for sure, and steady work, for sure. And there's just something about working for the railroad in the African-American community, which really was just a gem. There was little other work in America that paid so well or was so steady. And even though they had to endure this demeaning attitude from the people that they served, that was just, I think, part of the day. It's what they had to do. As difficult as it appears to us now, it was part of society.
You describe tough working conditions, but good pay. Did African American workers on the rail lines unionize?
Eventually they did. E. Philip Randolph actually started the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters, and we find that as the first African American organized labor union because they weren't allowed to join other labor unions. So E. Philip Randolph actually started that one exclusively for African-American sleeping car porters.
And do you know what their issues were? What did they organize around?
Certainly fair working conditions, increased pay, you know, all the typical things that unions were started for.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with B&O Railroad Museum Executive Director Courtney Wilson about the contributions of African-Americans to the B&O Railroad. What about African Americans as passengers? Were African Americans able to ride the B&O when it started carrying passengers?
Actually, yes. You know, the B&O was a kind of open railroad, and interestingly enough, the cars were segmented by gender and not by race. You find women having separate waiting rooms and men having separate cars because men are basically disgusting, you know. And back in the 19th century, there were spittoons and cigars and smoking and all that. So I think that in order to serve their passenger base, the segregation by gender made more sense.
But there was not segregation by race.
No, not,
on the
not really on the B&O. You find it on other railroads, which is interesting that the B&O was very progressive in that manner. But a lot of that, I think, had to do with the attitude of not being in the deep, deep South and being kind of a border state.
Because I thought I had heard about Jim Crow cars.
We have one in the collection. It actually is a Chesapeake and Ohio Railway Jim Crow car, which has a segregated cabin for African Americans and one for whites. It's on exhibit, and there's a great program in there to listen to.
And how would you describe the difference that you can see visually in the Jim Crow car compared to other cars on the railroad?
The car is kind of dark, but you can push a button to light up the white compartment and then push a button to light up the black compartment. And it's pretty obvious that woodwork and gold letters on the toilet and, you know, little architectural features in the white section are totally missing, where you just have kind of this dark red painted metal walls in the African-American section.
Where on the train would it have been?
It doesn't matter so much. In particular, that car would have been on a rural small passenger train, which also carried baggage. So the car is called a combine. So there's a baggage section, a black section, and a white section.
A couple historical figures with connections to the railroad. In 1872, Elijah McCoy, who was an African-American inventor, patented a device that regulated the flow of oil to locomotive cylinders and pistons. How successful was his patent?
They didn't call him the real McCoy for nothing, right? That's exactly where that saying came from. Very successful. And so you find these innovators on the railroad. The inventor of Bisquick worked for the railroad. He was a chef in a dining car.
And Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall, before he was Supreme Court Justice, worked for the B&L Railroad in his late teens and 20s?
For a very, very short time. His father, however, was a railroad car porter. And a lot has been made over his father's career as a railroad porter and how his experience working on the railroad in that role really instilled a sense of responsibility in young Thurgood.
Tell me about some of the images and artifacts in this exhibit. What is there? Is there one in particular that sticks with you?
Well, there's the ubiquitous red cap, right? So we have from the late 19th century this railroad porter's cap, which is painted red. And even today, if you go on Amtrak and you're in a station, there are red caps carrying your baggage, right? But back in that day, it was exclusively African American. And the whole concept of being able to look across a room and spot a porter in a red cap, you knew exactly who to go to, where to go for help, and that person could be responsible for getting your baggage on and off the train.
This exhibit is up through February. What is the one element in it that you'd want to make sure people don't miss?
I would say that really trying to understand how important these jobs were to the African Americans that had them is a sense that you can get from this exhibit. And there's also a railroad car as part of the exhibit called Dinner in the Diner. And the whole experience of the African-American dining car chef and waiter is kind of laid out in there. And it's so interesting, so compelling, that it really was quite the job. It's just a shame that they had to endure what they had to endure, you know, as a part of being at that place in society in that time period. But, wow, the railroad did so much in terms of providing this place for African-Americans.
Sounds fascinating. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Courtney Wilson is executive director of the B&O Railroad Museum. Links about the museum and the exhibit we discussed are available at the On the Record page at WIPR.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.